Blog Talk Radio.
Mama, don't cry for me. Papa, don't feel bad. Cold are the streets that I gotta keep. They bend, so we bang back. So I read my hood, my city, my borough thoroughly. That's all I had.
Hello, Jesus, Jesus children, Jesus love.
I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. We've been gone for a minute, but we're back. And tonight we're talking about the election in November. If our current president, Obama, is reelected, what do we expect from him? What do we expect from ourselves? Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Our chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments, or you can call in and be a part of tonight's conversation. Well, we've had 4 years of our current president. Has he lived up to our expectations? Are we still waiting for him to change our conditions, or is it really up to us? This is what we're talking about tonight. So please feel free, call in, chime in, give us your view, your opinion, your thoughts, your disappointment, maybe the hopefulness you have. What do we need to change about our view in America? will racism escalate if he's re-elected? This is what we're talking about tonight. This is why I decided to do this show. I truly believe that things will be different in the next 4 years if our current president is reelected. I love this man. He will get my vote. But if you have a different view, now is your time to call in and express your view. And the call-in number is 424-258-9271. Please join us. Please give us your view, your thoughts, your pros, your cons. There are no right or wrong answers on this show. We respect everybody's view. This is not an argument. This is a discussion. Again, our calling number is 424-258-9271. Got a call on the line. It's a brother who has a show himself. He has a couple of outstanding films. One, my favorite, A War for Your Soul. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It has one heck of a message that I believe everyone in America should see. Again, the name of the film is called A War for Your Soul. Also, he has another movie out called The Nadine Lee Story. This is a must-see for women who've struggled in their younger life and have made it through. This is a very inspiring film. And without further discussion, I'm just going to bring the brother in, and he'll fill you in on more. Good evening, Brother Reggie. Are you there?
Thank you, Brother Tony. I'm honored to be here, and I'm glad you're back. You are doing, you have one of the most raw, it's real. You can sense it, you can feel it, your style, your approach to the show. And I beg anybody out there within the sound of my voice, please support this man. Support him. Call in. Listen. Just call in. And even if you don't want to call in, you're shy, because I know some people, they get shy. They don't want to call in. Just listen, because you can learn a lot from this show. I support it. I listen to it as much as possible when I can call in. As busy as my schedule is, I'm calling in when I can call in. So, you know, y'all got to get out there and support this man, support this show, because the reason why we want to support it, it's not about money, it's not about fame. It's about you can learn from this man and learn from the format that he's placing for you. But now, let me just quickly chime in on your topic here. And Brother Tony, jump in at any moment that I'm wrong, because I don't
Obama. I'm not jumping in.
I want you to jump in. No, listen, I'm going to tell you why. I want you to jump in because I don't like Obama, and I'm going to tell you why I don't like him.
Okay.
As a president, let me tell you why I don't like him. And I hope all of y'all listen to me and don't vote for him because I don't like him. Let me tell you why I don't like him. You know, that man, what's his name, Osama bin Laden, he's been running roughshod, and ain't nobody stopped him. No one stopped him yet. And they haven't caught him, and he's still running around. Is that true, Brother Tony?
Oh, no, come on, Brother Reggie.
They caught him? Are you saying they caught him? Wait a minute. Did you saying the president took care of him?
From what I understand, yes, he has been.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll let that one go. Okay. Let's move on. He said he was going to get the troops out of Iraq, and they're all still there. Am I correct? Are they all still there?
Oh, no, they're not. These are accomplishments that he has made since he's been in office.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean he did those two big things? He did both of those? Wow.
That's for sure.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. I got another dislike about him. He has not made it possible for black children, Spanish children, East Indian, whatever you are, he has not made it possible for them to ever run to be president of the White House. He hasn't done that, has he?
I beg to differ. A few months ago, he signed an executive order for education excellence for African Americans and others as a whole. And
so are you
not
telling
you,
me,
not
wait
just
a minute.
You. Hold on now. Not just you, adults also.
So you're telling me all the things that I dislike this man for he has done, he's completed?
Exactly. You're not alone in feeling that way. You're not alone in feeling
I need
that
to,
way.
Wait a minute. I need to reevaluate this thing then.
Look what he's Maybe done I, with health care. Obamacare, okay? He's been getting shot down about Obamacare from the opposing party. But this president, for me, has done a whole lot. No, he hasn't brought us back from the brink of devastation that the previous administration left us in. Still, there has been major progress. Therefore,
you know,
he will get my support this November.
And, you know, and of course, folks out there listening, I'm being very, very sarcastic with this. I'm role-playing. But I cannot see, when you talk about those three things, he said he was going to pull the boys and the girls back from Iraq. He got them back. He said he was going to try to continue to fight terrorism. He got the number one face and the number two and three. There was two others underneath him. He got all that taken care of. And then his position around the world, the way the world looks at us, is totally different. All those things happen. I ain't going to throw in the Nobel Peace Prize. I ain't going to throw that in. I'm not even going to throw that in there to really rub what they call a salt in the wound. I'm not even going to throw that in. But I think one thing that needs to be known for all of the people that don't understand how this whole finance thing works, I personally have talked to people within my family that are, and when I talk about know about finances, some of these people have gone to the Harvard Business School, okay? And they have told me, along with I've heard other experts literally say, that at the time he took office, it would take 15 to 16 years to clear up this mess. And one of the reasons why is it's not even to blame the president. It is to blame our own spending habits, the way we buy things with credit and stuff like that. So we're a part of this too. And then the final thing, and I love the question that you had, are we to blame in some of this? Absolutely, we are to the blame because, to be honest, the president can do very little that's going to affect our lives besides setting Supreme Court justices in. That's about all he can do that's going to affect our lives directly. The people that are going to affect our lives directly are school boards, our city councils, our mayors, our governors, our senators, our congressmen of each individual state can affect our lives, and we don't vote. And we don't vote for these people. We will vote for the presidential election. And it will stand back and say, see, I don't have a job because this president. No, that's not what it is. And so it frustrates me at the highest level that the racism, the level of finger pointing at this man. If George Bush had captured Osama bin Laden, we would be erecting monuments to this man. If George Bush had pulled the troops back, all that money we lost over there in a battle that I don't even think we won, we should have been over there. Tony, all of that stuff, they would have erected monuments for him. And now it's like that's completely forgotten, and it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
You know, Reggie, you hit it right on the head. You nailed it. You know, across the board, how the war started, what the war was really about. Okay.
Yeah,
they sent troops in, talking about weapons of mass destruction. When America was a victim of the weapon of mass deception. Okay, when President Obama spoke, and he talked about Afghanistan and Osama bin Laden. At the end of him speaking on it, he said, we finally have went after the real culprits of 9-1-1. I don't know if a lot of people heard that. I heard it clearly. That was a message for me, like, you know what? Y'all were duped. I wasn't. You know, this president, he's not the perfect president. I'm not voting for him because he's African-American. And then, you know, wait a minute, I'm not being sincerely honest. Yes, I am. But there was a greater part of why I'm voting for him, okay? I'm looking at his record, and everything that he has said, he has done. When he first came into office, he said clearly, it would take at least 8 years before America would start to feel better.
Yeah.
Behind what happened previously, okay? Now, those that are running against him are trying to basically pick up from where they left off 4 years ago before
right.
he came into office. And
right.
we as a country, black, white, whatever, we can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
We truly cannot afford that. At the same time, should President Obama be reelected, what are we going to do?
Yes.
Because he's given us the formula to rise up as a people, not to oppress others, but to better ourselves. I'm getting tired of hearing, well, he's in office, what has he done for us? What have we done for ourselves? Look at our communities. Look at our communities. No black owned businesses, okay? Our children are slaughtering each other, okay? Teen pregnancy is on the rise, okay? Mental health, physical health, it's terrible in our community. And what are we doing about it? We're not doing anything about it because we love to blame. Or we're waiting for someone else to take care of our problems when we have the assets and the resources to take care of our own. You talked about our elected officials in our inner city communities, how we need to start making them more accountable for being in office. And we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're going along to get along. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is these are the areas that we need to change things. Okay? Our president, I've been listening to him for quite I listen closely. And he keeps giving us the formula to change our condition. And I'm wondering, am I the only one listening? He's talking education, education, education. He's telling us we need to reinvent ourselves, especially those that are, say, from 45 to 65. Mm-hmm. The job markets are bad, especially for African Americans. So we need to make some changes. And we're procrastinating and making those changes because we're waiting for somebody else to come along and solve our own problems. Mm-hmm. It begins and ends with us. And we need to make some serious changes. We are caught up on issues, to me, that are really not important. You know, stuff like gay marriage. You know, I could care less. Bottom. You know, love who you want to love. But that is not the main issue for me. The main issue for me is my community that I live in. Okay? The children. You know, why is it that we still fall for the same left hook time and time again? What does it take? We have an example of what we can do and become living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Come on, people. It's right there in our face. What do we need? What else do we need? Do we need to keep making up excuses? Because, Reggie, you know, I know you've heard them all. I mean, your film, War for the Soul, what a message. What a message.
Tony, what's scary about what you're saying, somebody had mentioned this to me, but I've been so removed from the film because you start getting working on other projects and radio show and all this other stuff. And you just said something that hit home with what somebody had sent me an email about 2 months ago. You said, this is what the person said about me. They said, oh, wow, you're a prophet. You predicted things and whatever. I said, did I? And so they said, no, that part about when you have a black president, all these bad things are going to continue to happen because you're going to continue to blame. And I forgot I even put that in there. But you just said it right then and there, that here we are, and we understand, and like you said, we understand there's racism. We understand things are unfair. We understand that we may have to work twice as hard to get in a position. We get all of that. We understand that we may not make certain groups ever like. We get all of that. But we have the position, the education, the power, the know-how, the technology. You know, when I look at what our ancestors went through, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have any of this stuff. They didn't have multiple blog talk radio shows where they could talk about this stuff. Tony, when we grew up, there was nothing representing this. Nothing.
Exactly.
We had to wait once every 2 weeks, and then whoever was doing it, whether it was Hal Jackson, whoever was running a show like this, they had to walk a fine line or they were going to get shut down. They had to walk a fine line. You got your show. I got my show. There's millions of shows on Blog Talk Radio. There's millions of shows on the internet. So what is our excuse? The message is getting there. What is our excuse? And that's my frustration. It's the same as yours. It's like, what do we need now? If we had very little and we could control our communities in the 30s and 40s, then now that we have a lot, We've got billions of dollars as far as our access. I heard a report one time that if all the black people gathered their money together, we would be like the 13th richest nation within the United States if we pooled our money together. And that doesn't mean we don't want to work with white folks. Of course we do. It's not even that. But it's the fact that we have enough positioning power. I look at kids that come in from other countries. I'll never forget this. Yao Ming, I remember saying, I'm an NBA basketball fan. I remember seeing him the first couple of weeks when he was getting all of his NBA interviews, and I watched him. And what my frustrating thing was, he had such broken English. He was struggling with the English. And I said to myself, I said, now, you see, if a black man struggled with that kind of English, they would rip him, but they give him the benefit of the doubt because that's his second language. But see, they don't give us the benefit of the doubt. Now, check this out. Here's where it blew my mind. 6 years later, I saw Yao Ming on an interview, and he had perfect English. His diction was perfect. His sound was perfect. And I was sitting there going, whoa, 6 years. He ain't from here. 6 years. He had it down. And it's not about the English thing, because half of my family, including myself, we ain't got it down. But I'm just saying, it just showed that he understood the game of the United States. He understood the positioning and said, I've got to learn this. And some of us have been here hundreds of years, and we haven't learned. It's not so much the language. Languages is the symbolism, but we haven't learned certain things within how games are played here. We just haven't learned. And like you said, Tony, what do we have to do? You get a black man in office, and we're still at that point where we haven't learned. And it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Well, you know, I've heard that expression, I'm tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
And you know, like yourself and myself and others, I truly believe there is a whole bunch of people that are tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like we're scattered. We're not, you know, we're not unified enough. You know, we our efforts are scattered because we lack major unity, and we need that. We
yeah.
need that. You know, we're too much divided. We're too separated. You know, we're selfish. We're stingy. We don't want to share.
Yes.
We don't want to share, Reg.
Yes.
You know, and this is to help everyone as a whole, you know.
Yes.
Or people want to be, you know, I'm the one that did this. You know, like
yes.
much as I admire the Reverend Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton and his network is one network, okay?
Right.
We have a whole bunch of networks.
Yeah.
That we can unite as a whole and make a serious, serious dent in what's going on with us as a people. You know,
yeah.
Dr. King's strength was the masses who stood beside him.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the masses need to really wake up to the fact that it's going to take all of us. When we're trying to stop violence in our community, it is the community's responsibility,
right.
Not the leaders.
Right.
Not the leaders. It's not the leaders' responsibility. It is the people of the community, the men and women of the community. That is who was supposed to be responsible. But, you know, people are sitting back waiting for the Calvary, and the Calvary is in the mirror, right in the mirror.
Yes.
It's right. The Calvary is mm-hmm. right in the mirror. And, it, you know, you express this, and people, they just come up with reasons for why they won't get involved. You know, I've heard it all. Well, you know, internalized oppression, learned helplessness, slavery. And I'm saying, well, we survived slavery.
Right.
We survived slavery. What you know, we're not giving ourselves the credit, nor are we acknowledging the strength we have as a people. Because we have a lot of strength. Everybody else seems to gather their strength except us.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're divided. Because we're divided, and we're always allowing ourselves to be distracted by nonsense.
Yes.
Issues
absolutely.
That don't. I'm saying it's issues that don't have anything to really do with us.
Yeah.
That we want to make a big thing about when what we need to be making a big thing about is our condition in this country and how
yeah.
we have allowed ourselves to be put where we at. We can't blame, you know, we can't blame white people. I'm sorry.
Let me throw this in. Half of the 17 years ago, I was working with white kids in the school system, and I'm not saying that every one of them didn't have some type of racist, not gene, but racist motive, but I'm telling you, a majority that I met did not have a clue. Now, did they benefit from being white? Yeah, you get benefits and stuff. Yeah, you do. But did they set out on a day-to-day basis? I worked in two schools, a private school and a public school. Private school, those kids were rich. Public schools, those kids didn't have much. And I'm talking about majority white kids. Bottom line is their goal on a day-to-day basis wasn't to sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to spend my time trying to figure out how to set up the system to destroy these people of color. That wasn't their goal. Now, did they benefit from things? Yeah, but that's not their goal. You want to know something? I'm going to let this secret in. This stuff I don't talk about on my show because I can't get down like that on my show. But I can't on yours because I'm the moderator. But I can get down like this. And I'm going to say this right now. They ain't thinking about us.
No.
They're worried about the Chinese. They're worried about the Mexicans. They're worried about a whole slew of other minorities before they worried about us.
Exactly.
And the reason why they ain't worried about us because we ain't doing nothing.
No, we
ain't shaking nothing up. We're not unifying. We're not doing anything. And one of the things I used to say to the white kids when I was talking to them in those schools, they said, oh, you keep talking about black people unite. And I said, but you know what? When you see a stronger black people unite, America benefits from that. I said, when you see it, it's not about racism. I said, when you see our neighborhoods become the way they should be, then whatever city you're living in, it benefits from that. One of the reasons why the Olympics might not have been held in Chicago is because people were scared of Chicago. I said, can you imagine all that money that was lost, all that money that would have gone to the United States, the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, all that stuff was lost because the bottom line was it was like, you know, we want to hold it there. And that's where the president, Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, Louis Farrakhan, that's where they all at. But
that's
the bottom
right.
line is y'all got like hundreds of kids being shot. We don't want to be around when they're, even if you give us protection, we don't want to be near that. And so the bottom line is we can – people don't understand. This is why I used to plead to white teachers. I say, look, if you got a racist bone in your body, you understand it's like stabbing yourself. We got to unite together. Y'all got to support these kids. Give them dreams. Give them hopes. Make them think they can do things because one of those kids could be the cure for cancer. One of those kids could be the cure for AIDS. But the bottom line is we don't see that. And like I said before, I really believe this, Tony. I really believe that – white America, I'll be honest, they're not, if they were racist, I'm not saying they're racist. If they were, they ain't thinking about us. Why would you be thinking about somebody that ain't doing nothing? You're not affecting
exactly.
our schools. You're not taking our jobs. You're not, why would you worry about something
that's
not
taking? You hit it on the head. They're not worried about us. Number one, our youth and young adults are committing self-inflicted genocide, okay?
Right.
If they were worried about us, or trying to do something to us, okay, they don't have to because we're doing it to ourselves.
Right.
We're taking care of that for them. Okay,
right.
So, you know, again, there are just, for me, no more excuses, none at all. I got a few more callers on the line. Brother Reggie, can you hang out for a little while or you
got
to go?
I hang out for a little. I got about another 5 minutes, but you take your callers. You take your callers.
Okay. I'm just going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. Tonight we're talking about the re-election of President Obama. If he's re-elected, what do we expect from him and from ourselves? Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Please feel free to call in with your comments and views. We'll be right back right after a short break.
Oh, there it goes. There they go.
Due to the overwhelming amount of listener requests, the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour will be expanding to three shows a week.
Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
Every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., Barbershop Talk. Call in and express your views.
Every time I start talking about boxing.
Uncensored.
I met Dr. Martin King once, and you lied.
Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m.
He beat Joe Lewis's ass.
That's right, he did whoop Joe Lewis's ass.
On Thursday night, join us for Lenny's Life Lessons. A former All-State basketball player and now a father, radio personality Leonard Miller shares his youthful wisdom as the co-host of the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour on Thursday nights. On Friday, join us for Harv's Funny Friday. In the tradition of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, comedian Harvey Knowles starts your weekend off right with 1 hour of laughter on Friday night from 7 to 8. And it all starts June 6th. Two new co-hosts, three incredible shows on the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
Doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a stronger than her. When cocaine, sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath. Cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowds you bring. Cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna be.
Listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, for you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists, so act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys, you can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking weed and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna
now,
be.
Go.
I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Huh.
Be what I wanna
huh.
be. If I work hard at it. If I work hard at
oh.
it. I'll be where I wanna be. I'll be where I wanna be.
B, before we came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded, they heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked, slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He wasn't shocked at the mountains with black faces, shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow, they'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters, hoes, read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna be.
Y'all, save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music.
You're listening to EIESOC Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to tonight's show. We're talking about the re-election of President Obama. What do we expect from him and ourselves? We're weighing the pros and the cons, your views, your opinions, your hopes. We have a call on the line. He's out of Minnesota, I believe. Brother Bertram, welcome to our show.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Tony?
How are you, my man? Thanks for calling in.
All right, yeah. You know, first off, I'd like to open up sending gratitude for EIE, Save Our Children, from Enough is Enough, Minnesota, No One Dies, and also the Black Men Stand Up movement. You have been a big inspiration for us doing what we're doing here in Minnesota and also nation and globally for the Black Men Stand Up movement as well. And I appreciate the invitation. I'm finally glad that I have time to call into your show from the many invitations that I got from you. But cut directly to the point, what I expect if Barack Obama gets elected again is exactly what we got for the last 4 years. You know, we have to pay attention to what he's saying. Color of his skin don't say much in today's society. What I've learned, even at a young 34, is skin color is a distraction, just like political parties is a distraction. Religion is a distraction. For those who believe in God, there is one God. All three major religions go off of the God of Abraham, whether it's Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, go off of the God of Abraham. We're all created by one. We all share this one planet together. As black people, what are we going to do? Sit here and wait for somebody to save us? We have to save ourselves. If we look back into black history, the one thing that was left out in school is something I didn't find out until I was 31 years old, and that is about Black Wall Street, the Tulsa race riots back in the 1920s. At that time, former slaves and business owners from the north that settled in the northern sector of Tulsa, which was formerly known as Greenwood, Oklahoma, and we had the richest nation. We were the oil capital of the world. We were the richest district in the world. Black people, slaves.
Let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. If you don't mind,
right.
I don't mean to cut you off. You said you didn't find out about that until age of 31. How did you find out?
I moved down to Texas, right? And I'm a very spiritual person. So for some reason, I'm in Little Elm, Texas. I'm like, wow, there's it's like the ground is crying out to me. And so on the anniversary of that happening, I'm like, something happened this day in history not too far from here. Now, I was in northern Texas, probably 2 hours at the most from Tulsa. And so I Googled the date, and that's when I found out about the Greenwood lynchings. Just off of me just saying something happened today in history, and like the earth was crying to me, like the blood in the ground was crying to me. I was 10 miles from a grave slave yard down in Texas. Now, I'm a northern boy. I ain't never really been down south too much, you know? And so when I get down there, I know the history. I'm half Native American, too. I'm wondering why I'm not seeing any Indian faces and stuff. And then I found out what they did to the Native Americans down there. And I'm like, wow, you know. And so when I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh, wow, did we get dumbed down? We were on welfare overnight, and we've been stuck there ever since, so it seems. And so we're sitting here, for lack of a better phrase, suckling off of Uncle Sam's a nipple, happy for the crumbs that he's given us. Some of us are a generation from slums, and we're still happy for them little crumbs, you know? And so I'm a hip-hop artist, too. You know, so I look at rap music. And I grew up in the 80s, you know, with Boogie Down Productions, Rakim, Public Enemy, people who was actually saying something and teaching us something and teaching me about myself. And then, you know, I got turned out by the Eazy-E and N.W.A. and Too Short And you know, years ago I would have said Tupac is the last of the realest, but even he kind of sold us out. Because what it is that our negativity has been marketed. These people are making money off of our downfall. Then we have our Lil Wayne's, our Gucci Mane, our Waka Flocka Flame, and all these guys being what Malcolm X calls Sly the Family Stone back in the day, the white man's clown. And so we out here, excuse my language, we out here stupid as hell. calling that the way to be. I look at these kids on Facebook and other social sites purposely misspelling things. And I'm like, do you know how to spell? And, you know, maybe I should come a little bit softer, because even in my time in prison, I helped 15 or 16-year-old men learn how to read.
Oh,
and the thing is, nobody took the time to those who didn't want to teach us didn't take the time to teach us. They just passed us right on, okay? And then ours who knew, we were so eager to get up out of it, mess that once we left, we ran and never looked back. But here,
wow.
I publicly over and over again charged the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, the LeBron James, and all these movie stars and entertainers and everything. If you really give 2 cents about your people, build us a school in the hood that you came from. Build a grocery store. Build a textile company. Invest in the automotive industry and employ your community so we can rebuild Black Wall Street and become self-sufficient. The brother I was speaking earlier said if we put our money together, we'd be the 13th richest in the nation or something like that. You're right, we would.
Check this out for a minute, Bertrand. The brother that you mentioned is still on the line. His mic is open. Say hello to Reggie Bullock.
How you doing, Brother Reggie?
Brother, I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm amazed, and you give me hope. After my film, I'm not even going to plug it, but after War for Your Soul was made, one of the things that I had an opportunity to do was go around for 3 years, almost every weekend, and travel and talk to people. And one of the places I went was Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I learned about Black Wall Street. I mean, learned it from a spiritual level from the people that had lived there. But one of the things that I learned throughout, and this is something that's frustrating, but I got to figure out how to use this, is that every city I went to, small and large, Pittsburgh, places I'd never been to, I said, there are people just like you, brother, that are out there that have the knowledge, have the fire, have the passion to fix this thing. And like Brother Tony said early on, something is going on where we can't connect, where we're not connecting. Because as I hear you talk, I'm like, okay, that's a leader for his region. Now we got to get people behind him and then connect that region with the region next door and the region next door, where by the end of the day you have everybody connected and they say, hey, look, we may not all agree, but when we leave this room, because a lot of other groups do this, they may not agree, they may holler, cuss, and fight, but when they leave that room, they leave and united. And whatever's going to that mosque, that synagogue, whatever it is, it's going to be built. It's going to be taken care of. And yet we don't have that. And a lot of that comes from, you know, the whole, from slavery. A lot of that stuff has been passed. I get that. But some of us are smart enough to know. We can see the problem. And this is what I have. This is where I can't blame young kids shooting each other if the older ones with these degrees and doctorate degrees, if they can't get together. Then don't expect the young kids who are living without a mother and father in the hood, and the only way they know how to get together is to band together in a gang. Don't blame them. If you can't get together, don't stand there and look at these kids in Chicago that are shooting each other. Why they do that? Don't they understand it's self-genocide? What will make a black man? Well, wait a minute. What example are you showing them? You got your doctorate degree. He got his doctorate degree. You got your organization where you're bringing millions of dollars. He got his organization. Y'all can't come together. So you got churches. If you can't come together under your religion, your money, and all this stuff, how do you expect this child that's 14, 15, who has nothing, how do you expect him to come together? But anyway, I love your spirit. We got to come together behind individuals like you because you represent the best of us that's going to be from here to go on.
Exactly, Reggie. This is the first time that I really spoke with Brother Bertram. You know, he came aboard over a year ago. He joined Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. And, wow, what an asset. What an asset because he just came up with a formula that, you know, would work.
Yeah.
That Black Wall Street, an excellent example of how we can advance. He just said it.
I don't understand why this is not taught to us in grade school. And the reason why, you know, it has nothing to do with they want to hold the black man down, slavery, Willie Lynch, or anything. All of that are 50 and 60-year-old, almost 100-year-old excuses. If we look at the science level of it, okay, Rockefeller said one thing, right? If you want to destroy a nation, use music. And if we go back to Management 101, the adult mind takes 500 times for it to hear something before it's burnt into the subconscious mind. So while I'm sitting 19 years old in my little weed spot, bagging up my sacks, bumping Master P, pass me some green, I need some weed with my Hennessy. He says that about 75 times in that little 3-minute song. So I found myself later on, every time I take a shot of Hennessy, I need to smoke a blunt. Why? Because my subconscious mind was trained. Now, if we listen to what is just put on the radio with the editing and all that stuff, when they care to edit it, because I've heard a few F-bombs and stuff on the radio these days, and society is getting a little bit more liberal with the corruption that spreads around, we got to realize that our little babies are able to just listen to this riding to preschool with mom in the car who's not thinking, what am I putting in my child's spiritual cup? So that's the indirect way that we corrupt our own children. And there are those out here who say, I'm going to raise my baby to be the hardest thug on the block and do it deliberately. And them people don't deserve their children. Them people are endangering their children and setting them up to a sentence of death or life in prison. I know I'm a product of that. I'm an ex-gang member. I'm an ex-drug dealer. I'm a 3-time felon. I had a man give me an opportunity. This is what cleaned me up and got me sober off of drugs and out of the streets to come and manage the sober house I'm at right now and put me in a leadership position. And he was a white man, so color has nothing to do with this. We're in North Minneapolis. He comes all the way from Burnsville, Minnesota, all right, which is about as suburban white America as you get, to North Minneapolis in the hood to help the place in the Twin Cities in Minnesota that needed the most.
A true
retired
soldier,
Army Sergeant. I really admire this guy, you know.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. You are a true soldier.
He is.
This is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we need. Leading by example. Been there, done that. Okay? This is what we need. This is what helps our troubled youth and young adults.
But you see, Tony, let me jump in here and say something. But see, here's the problem that I've seen as I moved around the country. This Brother Bertram's story won't be told. Every time we shoot each other that story, and this goes back into what he was saying about the music and how that stuff plays out, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy, if you keep showing this stuff over and over, whether it's subliminally or it's subconscious, his story won't be told. His story ain't going to make that news thing. But what will be told was 5 people shot each other. If you and I shoot each other, Tony, that's going to make the news. His story of how he resurrected himself, redemption, how he done changed everything, how he sees her, ain't going to be told. But if he makes, but you know what's funny? He understands the spoken word and the artistry of rap music. If he made a song speaking to this, it ain't going to sell. It ain't going to be told and ain't going to be sold. But now, if he come out with some booty shaking, I got Hennessy in my cup. He comes out with that. It's gonna be sold and it's gonna be told. And that's the sad part of what's going on. There are hundreds. I think there's a lot of brothers like him out there, young warriors, young lions, ready to go. But the story ain't gonna be told. The rest of everybody's gonna be sold something else. And that's the sad part.
Well, you're absolutely right.
If I may, here's my angle on this, right? Especially with the music part. Okay, the music industry is pretty much controlled by 2 or 3 individuals. The same person that owns Radio 1 and Clear Channel, he owns them both, says this is what people need to hear. So we have rappers. I don't know if you guys remember Paris. He used to rap with Public Enemy. He's out of the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very strong, militant rap music. And he got snuffed out with Public Enemy and Boogie Now Productions. Because it's the same guy, Clear Channel, Radio 1 owner, I forget his name, also runs BET and MTV. When Public Enemy's last album dropped, they had the Flavor of Love on, the Flavor Flav, a member of Public Enemy. And during that whole time, he said nothing about check out my man's new album. Why? Because it would snuff out that buffoonery that was going on the Flavor of Love.
Right.
Wow. Making a fool of ourselves. So I started this page on Facebook, and it's called Underground Unsigned Rappers United to Bring Real Hip Hop Back, and it's nothing but underground. Whenever somebody posts some of that ringtone rap, that trap music and all that stuff, get that BS up out of here. All right.
Underground,
what I'm proposing for the members of my page to do is let's all put a track on it. Okay? And then we'll go ahead and we'll produce these tracks ourselves. If we even sell it for a dollar, we'll put this money back in, and the underground can take the industry back from the mainstream. Because the mainstream is saying it's the norm for us to be on welfare and buy $300 jeans. And the rims in our car is worth more than a house. The accessories on our car are worth more than our property and everything in it. You know what I mean? When I went to Dallas, Texas, and I went to the south side of Dallas, Texas, because I wanted to see how we were living there, because I heard so much about it and stuff. And some of them houses still look like slave shacks, but they got these big, nice, fancy cars, butterfly doors. The car itself has $250,000 of accessories on it, and you're living in a three-room shack. House full of people, your family. Our minds are backwards because it's being dictated to us that this is what a black man is. And I had to wake up a black man is not a gangster, a black man is not a drug dealer. It's not a drunk. It's not a crackhead. It's not a pimp. You know, he's a dad, a brother, a son, an uncle, a cousin, a grandfather if he's lucky, a wife if he gets favor found in him from the Lord. He has a wife. He's a husbandman. You know what I mean? And all these things, the simplicity of life, bring us wealth.
I have a question for both of you gentlemen, because I'm going to end shortly, but I want to ask this question. Do you believe that President Obama needs to address the crisis of gun violence in America? Reggie, you want to go first?
I do believe that, and I don't believe he will. I don't believe he cares.
You know, I'll say this, and this may not be answering the question. I heard Louis Farrakhan say a while ago that although he was happy with the president being elected, because it is a major, major milestone, not only the history of black people, the history of the United States, but the history of the world. But he said at the end of the day, he is a politician. He said, and I'm not saying that in a dirty way. He said that's the game that he's playing. In order for him to play that game, he has to listen to certain groups and certain people to get reelected. He said that's how the game is. So he said, so whatever he does or don't do, he said, I don't blame him for it because I understand the game. So with that being said, the right thing would be to do to address the gun violence, to get the guns off the street. Will he? I don't know, because I don't know how strong the NRA is in affecting the election and stuff like that. And that's the part where I say let's lean away from the president. Let's focus on our neighborhoods. Let's focus on correcting our neighborhoods. Forget about what that man can do. Let's focus on what we can do. And we can do it. It's just that I think we've been brainwashed. Or if those who haven't been brainwashed are just greedy and just don't care. So...
Well, you know, this is my view on it. I truly believe, you know, he hasn't spoken on it enough, if at all. I mean, he's spoken on when there's been some mass shootings. He said, you know, it could have been his son or his daughter. But the crisis as a whole, he really hasn't, for me, given anything. Okay? I'm a little disappointed about that. When there's mass shootings, let's give the case of Arizona and Gabby Gifford. You know, he really spoke out. He really stepped out. And I was disappointed because this is something that goes on in our communities 24/7. And he just didn't seem, he's not giving it the attention he gave Arizona. And that's where I'm just disappointed in that. I'm very disappointed in that. Whenever there's a mass shooting in different places, Colorado, you know, what have you, he speaks out. When it comes to our communities, he's not saying anything of, you know, significance to me. Reggie, I understand what you were talking about as far as the NRA and what kind of political power they have, because I know they do have big political power. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. But I truly hope and wish that he addresses this issue more than he has in the past. Brother Reggie, I got a plan. Brother Bertram, you are part of the plan that I have. I want to do another show. I want to bring on some brothers with the mindset like you have, Brother Bertram, and I want to do a full hour, no call-in, just you cats bringing the knowledge about where we are at and what we need to do and how we can do it. Because, Brother Bertram, you brought it tonight. I got to give it to you. You brought it
he
tonight.
Did.
I want to thank you so much for calling in. I want to bring you back as a guest. Bring some brothers with you with the same mindset, and let's get the word out. Let's get it out.
He's
like
our future.
Virus.
He is our future.
Exactly. Exactly. These are the young cats that, see, I said it was going to be the young cats, the young men and women that was going to make change. Okay? Because we can't depend on our elders. Yes, we got some OGs that can school us, that can bring us through. But at the same time, we need young cats like Brother Bertram here. Okay? Because he's been there. He's done that. Okay, he's learned, he's living, and he's giving it away freely. He's not looking for anything in return. This is what we need. Listen, I'm going to close. Brother Reggie, it was so good to have you call in. Brother Bertram, we're going to be in contact. Let's get together. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. All right? For sure. For sure. Because we got a lot of work to do, and it is truly up to us as a whole, as people, especially as men. As men, I was listening to this talk show radio here in New York this morning, and there was different organizations, and I think it was a three-speaker panel thing, and the organizations were represented by women. And for me, we need more men organizations. Women are stepping up there on the front line. They're trying to make it happen for their babies. Where are the men? We need more men involved in this. Young men, old men. It is time for men to step it up. Step it up. Get involved with your children's lives, your own community lives. It's time to change the game. Time to change the game. Women are in the workforce. Now they're on the front line trying to save lives. When are we going to get up there and stand beside them? Time for change, gentlemen. Listen, I'm going to close. I want to thank you both for calling in. Again, I'm your host. If you've been listening tonight, my name is Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children here in New York. You can find us on Facebook, or you can go to our website. That's www.enoughisenoughsaveourchildren.org. Please feel free to visit our website, register, and make a donation. We need donations for services for our children. We're doing a toy drive this holiday season coming up. We're trying to feed folks for Thanksgiving. And we need donations. So please feel free to register. Send us your information and so that we can network and make some things happen and make change in our community. It's about us, y'all. Brother Bertram gave us the solution tonight. Time to build another Black Wall Street. We can make it happen. We got a plan. We got a formula. Again, if nobody told you they loved you today, know that God does, and so do I. Till next Sunday, you stay blessed and keep your children safe. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
To keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just.
Get in that cell, nigga.
God,
Lord.
His cab is long. His feet are hot.